Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
All right. Welcome everyone here to The Thriving Marriage. I am Heather Choate and I'm here with a very special guest, Christina Nichols. How are you doing, Christina?
Pretty good. It's really early my time. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. So you must be over on the West Coast.
Yes.
Yeah. Pacific time. Awesome. So we're excited to have you here, Christina. As we left everyone off last week, we were letting you guys know that we're going to be doing a special interview here with Christina as one of our clients. And I'm really excited. I actually personally haven't had the opportunity to work with you, Christina. And so I'm excited to get to know you a little bit more and grateful that you're willing to share your journey here with everyone in The Thriving Marriage and help inspire them to see what is really possible with their relationships. So grateful and excited to have you guys here. If you all don't mind, maybe keeping Mark Johnston, our my partner here and the head marriage coach at High Thrive Coaching, in your prayers. He is struggling with COVID right now. So we appreciate that. Yeah, he's having a hard time and we appreciate everyone's patience with him. If you're one of his clients, as he's trying to get back on his feet, but he is having a hard time. So appreciate your guys' prayers and sending lots of love and healing to him and his family at this time. So that'd be great.
I work in healthcare, so it's pretty stressful for us. I mostly take care of post-COVID patients. So the aftermath of it.
Wow. Yeah, it's intense. So tell us a little bit about you, Christina. Tell us a little bit about where you were with your relationship and just anything that you feel like sharing. Like I said, I haven't worked with you yet before, so I'm excited to get to know you. So you work in healthcare.
Yes.
How long have you been married?
It's about 7 years. I'm a certified CNA and medication aide. During this pandemic, I've actually kind of switched career-ish. I started becoming a one-on-one caregiver. It's only because I have a daughter that's high risk of getting COVID, so I had to look out for her more than anything. With me, my marriage was kind of rough for a while. Maybe within our third year of marriage between me and my husband, it was really rough. We had issues, especially with communication. He wasn't happy with his job. We weren't happy with our life in general because we just kind of lost touch with one another. So there was that. Those were the issues. And then a lot of things kind of happened. An affair happened during COVID. Which I had to deal with, and it's really hard because I really don't have family that lives close by. And so, and plus working in healthcare and doing what I was doing, our homing market out here, especially apartments, were like $1,500 to $1,600 a month. So I kind of had to quote unquote stay in the house. And so we just kind of lived like roommates for the longest time. It was extremely hard at first, and I was actually going through just regular counseling myself, and then I added your guys' program to help with it more, because I wanted like both sides' feedbacks to help with one decision or another and, you know, get input between the two. Over time, I just started to realize that if I started working on myself, I can conquer anything. And that's what I pretty much did. I finally got the help that I needed, got the medications that I needed to be on, started improving myself and our daughter that we have, and set up boundaries, started setting up boundaries against him, which he didn't like. And I kind of let him do his own thing, and it started to really bug him. And then with his affair, it started going downhill because she started doing other things. And he finally got to the point that he realized he was actually being used by her. So after that, he just kind of did his own thing and then realized that how much I changed and how much I became a better person. He's now willing to try.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. That's a lot. I'm just sending you so much love and so much honor to you, because my goodness, that's a lot of heaviness. And you're talking about being in healthcare during the heart of COVID. You're talking about like having a daughter that you need to watch out for with all of this pandemic going on as well. And then, you know, you add several years of marriage distance, communication challenges, and then an affair, and you're willing to go first and be willing to work on things, and to, you know, give your marriage that chance. So I hear a lot of people, when they're going through similar things, they'll say, you know, there's just really no hope here. I can't do it by myself. Did you have any of those same kind of feelings or struggles, or did you always just have this belief like you could do it?
I had those feelings at first of, you know, I don't think it's not going to work and all this other stuff. But once I stopped thinking at a negative mindset and just continued to work on myself, that negativity went away. And I became a lot more happier with myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that made the big difference for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned before kind of working with us, you were getting counseling for yourself and doing a lot of these things. What else were you trying to do that you thought maybe would have solved this or maybe would have worked? And maybe why did those things not work the way you thought they would?
I didn't really think of anything else. I just wanted to get the help that I needed. I needed to learn how to focus on myself first more than anything. I suffer from ADHD, depression, and anxiety. And so a lot of the things kind of overwhelm me quite a bit. So I had to focus on the overwhelmingness. Like, I was getting upset, like, over, like, the littlest things, like getting the house cleaned up and me doing everything and all this, you know, all the pressure. And then him not understanding why by the end of the day I'm, like, too tired to do anything with him. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Yeah, he works really hard for our family. But it was just an argument of just, like, household stuff. And over time, when I was working on myself, I realized I should just learn to let that go and just not let it bug me anymore and just only get stuff done when it needs to get done, even if it's just in small amounts. And it's if, like, example, if I'm doing laundry, sure, I can get like maybe a load a day done. It's a load a day. I don't have to sit there and do like 20 loads of laundry and then exhaust myself out to like hanging it all and whatnot. So I just trying to learn how to do little small victories instead of just thinking of one big one.
Yeah. So finding things that were working for you to help reduce kind of this anxiety and the pressure that you were feeling. How well do you feel like you really took care of yourself before this happened? You know, let's rewind, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. You feel like you had a lot of skills there?
I didn't really take care of myself, not much. I have always put myself on the back burner on everything. It was always taking care of my daughter, care of the house, and care of my husband. I had issues making time on my own. And even if I wanted time on my own, it was kind of hard because I have a daughter that wants my attention normally all the time too.
Yeah. Right. So that was a big change to try to put yourself first. And
it is big of a change. And that was also something my husband had to realize to go through too. Like, he had to make his changes as well to be happy. And I guess like the affair was like a greatness, like in a disguise type way, because we learned to separate from one another. Sure, what he did was wrong, but it made me open up and realize that I'm a lot more better person. And deep down, I need to work on myself. And if he misses out on me, then he misses out on me. I mean, it's I wasn't trying to like not make this a big deal. It's like, you know what? His loss. If he wants to leave and be with this woman, then that's his loss.
Yeah. You get to that place of just, you know, some self-confidence. And that also right there is like, you know, I'm going to be okay no matter what happens is one of the most beautiful places to get to when your relationship is struggling. Mm-hmm. A lot of people try to put the pressure on, you know, and what you did there is you took the pressure off of both of you, which is exactly what we want to see. You know, it's a hard thing to do sometimes, but it's freeing to you and it gives space for the relationship to actually, you know, have a space to come together again. I like that Kimberly said here over on Facebook that that's the same transition that she had to make to stop making everything a big deal. Yeah, exactly. And then Chad agrees. Hey, Chad, I've been talking to you. That's awesome. And so there's something that like one of my mentors talks about how important it is to take care of ourselves and make sure that we have the energy and the resources to then go and be able to give to others, you know, like build a gift to your daughter and build a gift to your husband. He calls it that if your well's dry, it's like you're sucking mud and you just aren't really of use to anyone, including yourself or anyone else, if you're sucking mud and you can't give something that you don't yourself have, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's awesome that you are able to have that perspective of like, you know, yeah, this affair hurts, but it's actually, what I'm hearing you say is like, it's actually like a gift in a way because it helped me realize that I need to take care of myself and I need to make some improvements here. And then if he wants to be part of that, great. And if not, then his loss, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a beautiful place to get to. What would you recommend to other people that feel like maybe they're still stuck in mud and they're having a hard time with anxiety or making everything a big deal?
I know with the pandemic, I know it's really hard to get like help for your depression, anxiety right now. Cause I noticed like a lot of psychiatrists are booked out. They're booked out here in Oregon. So I can imagine in other states right now. My suggestion is look for that help regardless. There are available resources online, like Cerebral. That's where I went through to get like my help for medication, and I see a therapist through them because they're able to get, since it's online, they're able to get more people in sooner than seeing someone face to face in an office. That's like up to 3 to 6 months booked out. Another one is to keep a journal and just write it down, everything that's kind of going on. Another big one for especially those with parent or have kids, keep a log of what happens, especially younger ones, of their behaviors and what actions is going on. Because with my husband's affair, my daughter started acting out towards him. And he started kind of acting out towards her. So I had to start documenting of what's going on only because of her safety and mine, because it's, you want to be prepared to show as hard as it may sound. So I'm like, okay, why do you think you get full custody and he shouldn't type deal? And as much as it hurts, that's something I had to do. Mm-hmm. And try everything to protect yourself as well.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you feel like were some of the most, you talked about setting healthy boundaries with him. What are some of the other things that you feel like were really helpful that you learned as you went through the coaching with us?
A lot of things I learned was just mostly try to take care of myself and then learn how to take care of my daughter a lot better to try to get more one-on-one time with her and to show that I can be a good single mom without his help and that I have a support system too on the outside regardless. But in all, in the end though, I was just a lot more better person and I feel grateful for going through this program.
That's a great
place to be. It's opened up my eyes quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned that like setting the healthy boundaries was hard, right? And he didn't like it. Was it hard for you to set some healthy boundaries? Because I know a lot of people, when they're going through affairs, and like you get to this place where you need to set some boundaries, you need to feel safe, you need to feel like you've got some, you know, control here and some safety. But sometimes people worry about them backfiring or pushing the person other away, you know, the other person away. So what was that experience for you with setting those
healthy boundaries? It was a little bit harder only because we lived with each other, but I wouldn't let him have his cake and eat it too in the way. So I pretty much told him, like, all right, if you're going to do this, I'm just going to stop being a wife. You can do your own laundry. You can make your own lunches. You can start taking care of yourself. I'll just worry about me and our daughter. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
The only thing that I actually had to keep, and I discussed this with my therapist, was I still did dinners for us because, you know, it was something for what my daughter wanted, but everything else, like chores and whatnot, that if he needed clothes, he can do his own laundry and such. It's like, I'm not gonna let you do what you're doing to me and just take care of yourself because I'm over it. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard at first, but when I was doing those boundaries, he started to realize that I wasn't joking around or anything like that. So he was all like, oh, and it kind of scared him. No, I haven't. I sent you a text message. Sorry.
No worries. You good?
But other than that, it just came out a lot better. And I think the hardest thing, regardless, even if you're rekindling your marriage, it's always going to be communication, because you want to try to stay stuck in that really bad habit and not taking like your communication as criticism as well. And that's always been an issue. Like, we can just be talking about something and it upset one another, and we take it as criticism instead of learning from it.
Mm. Yeah, that's really powerful. So do you feel like before you started working on things here, that was what was going on with your communication, that there was just a lot of criticism? It was perceived as criticism?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else was going on with your communication before?
Well, with people who suffer from neurodivergence, pretty much ADHD, depression, anxiety, overspending was one of them. So we would always be struggling with finances because we didn't know what our money was going. Mm-hmm. And we didn't communicate what we were spending on and just relying on what's in the bank account. And then we would fight about money and such. So that's gotten a lot better. We work on our finances together. He actually now communicates with me saying, hey, actually, how much money do we have in the account? Because I need to get something. And I would actually be like, let me look at the book that we have, because I keep like a huge binder and I just write down what's been paid and the balances. And I think it's just called an extra large check register, as I call it. Mm-hmm. And I told him, like, well, all these bills came out and the numbers match, so you can go ahead and buy what's needed or et cetera. So yeah, we're doing a lot better. Like I said, communication is still a little kind of like a struggling thing, but it's still a learning process.
Yeah. Do you feel like you guys are more a team? It sounds like you're working together.
I feel like we're more a team. He just recently, not too long ago, end of last year in September, he decided to go back to school and get his HVAC certification. And and he did fine with it. And he now has an HVAC job that he got at the beginning of the year. He's not miserable with the job that he was with for 8 years, and he's happy.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you guys are working together as a team to be happier, to be healthier, to communicate better. Tell me a little bit about the trust part, okay? Because with, you know, affairs, of course, there's going to be broken trust,
right?
And broken promises, and it's heartbreaking. So to go from, you know, absolute broken trust, where do you feel like you are now with your levels of trust?
Our level of trust has gotten a lot better. He can communicate with me on a lot of things now. And it's just learning how to redo everything all over again, pretty much. And it does take a little while. And I have to stop overthinking with everything else, like what he does, and stop overthinking about it, letting my mind wander and just getting it to stop. And that just falls under the communication as well. It's just, it is what it is. Like, I just have to learn how to trust him, and I shouldn't have to ask so many questions to, you know, get him all wild up and such.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, one of those things with restoring trust is having that really open communication, right?
Right.
Having an open dialogue. Do you feel like things are opening up more between you now?
Yes, it has.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one of the biggest challenges. So it's like putting in those healthy boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. Where do you feel like you're at right now with those healthy boundaries? Are you still in a stage where you're like needing some boundaries still actively in place, or have you kind of graduated from that?
I've slowly graduated from that. There has been times where I had to implement a lot of rules. I express my feelings on certain things, and I try to make him, you know, I say to him, like, don't take this as criticism or anything, but, you know, this is how I feel right now. And, you know, what you do is, you know, either hurtful or kind of getting annoying, making me upset, et cetera. And he's trying his best, because that's like the hardest thing in the world right now, is trying to learn what's criticism and what's not.
Gotcha.
Just trying to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, the difference there between here's some feedback, right? Mark talks a lot about the ability to give and receive feedback, right? That feedback isn't necessarily criticism, like I'm not putting you down, but this is hurtful, or this is an issue that I see. This is something that we need to work on. And so how can we do that together as a team, right? It's a lot different than the nagging and the complaining and the actual criticism that a lot of couples get into patterns about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you mentioned that sometimes those patterns are really hard to put down because we're so used to them, right? And so what do you feel like is helping you guys to recognize patterns when they come up?
Well, a lot of the issues that I've noticed was electronics. Like, we're more on our phones these days. And when you send text to people, they can discard it, you know, make them feel what they want to feel about it. They can make them, like, reading a text, you can be either mad about it, happy about it, upset about it, when it's just words on a screen. And that's something that you shouldn't be doing at all. So we're trying to talk more face-to-face, more than anything, to keep the feelings, you know, neutral and more real, instead of doing it over the phone. I mean, gotcha. If it's something like really quickly, like, hey, I noticed that you did something, and can we talk about it when we get home, instead of just pushing it when he's at work? Like, hey, I know you did this, and I completely, you know, make him frustrated at work, and that's the last thing I want to do.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So you feel like maybe a lot of your communication was taking place over text before? Is that what I'm understanding? Yeah. And now you're shifting that to, hey, if this is important enough, then we actually need to talk about it face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's that's another thing a lot of people got to learn, is that get off the phones, because, like I said, people perceive the feelings of the words what they want to feel like. So the last thing you need is like to be angry because they meant what they meant, but it wasn't supposed to be an angry thing. It was just a subtle thing. And that's what the issue is with, like, even just today's world, just it's just too much technology and not enough face-to-face time now these days.
Yeah. And COVID and quarantine and all those things have made that even more challenging for a lot of people too. For those that are listening and maybe you're saying, well, I can only actually text my spouse right now. So that doesn't sound super helpful or hopeful, you know, there still is hope, because even if you're only texting, if that's the only way that you can reach your spouse right now, there's ways to present it that are just much more easily understood, that come across much clearer. And so we help our clients with that. So even with, like, you have a weird text from your spouse or a challenging text or something that you need to communicate, we can help you craft that so that it comes across as effective as possible. And usually it's an invitation to have a face-to-face conversation if possible. You know, we always gauge you where you're at in your relationship and make sure that that's the right thing to do. But obviously for where Christina and her husband are, you know, they have the opportunity to talk face to face. And so if you have that opportunity, that's always going to be a lot better. Sometimes it's easy, right, Christina, to kind of hide behind a text message or an email or a letter instead of having some of the harder face to face conversations. But we know that communication is so much about expression and voice inflection. And there's so much that can be misunderstood through text alone. So yeah, that's really powerful. Thanks for sharing that.
Another boundary thing with including the text messages, something I learned through my therapist is when they're trying to make you angry, like say your spouse is trying to make you angry, get that feeling like going because they want to start an argument over text, just send them one word answers and don't give them the attention that they want. If they want to talk about it face to face, just tell them that, but just do one words. And I know a lot of people don't like that, but sending like long messages is giving them the advantage to them. So just one word to be like, I'm fine or fine. Thank you. You know, stuff like that. It's just showing that you're not going to play the game.
Right. Another suggestion could be, you know, I can see that this is important to you. I'm fine to talk about it at this time, face to face, or something like that. It's another one of those healthy boundaries of communicating, hey, I'm not going to do this game anymore, right? And we call that like a pattern interrupt. You've got this kind of pattern of going down this road with this texting and then getting really upset with each other about it. Now we're going to do things a different way. So I love this question here from Melissa over in the Thriving Marriage group. And if you don't mind answering it for everyone, here can hear she asked, Christina, how long did it take for you to get to the place you are now in your relationship? Which I think is a super helpful question.
it took about a year and a half. I always tell people, regardless what it is, if you're losing weight, trying to get yourself back together, trying to improve your relationships, everything is a marathon, not a race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And it took time to get to where you are, right? You talked about about three years of things being really challenging in your marriage leading up to an affair, right? And so it took time to create that. It takes time to put weight on, if you're using, you know, the weight analogy. And so it's going to take time to get things going in the right direction. But it often is surprising how short of a time it can take when you're doing it the right way. So what do you feel like were some things that looking back, you realized maybe weren't as effective, or things that you're like, yeah, that really didn't work for me, or that wasn't maybe the most helpful advice, anything like that, that maybe you heard from friends or that you just maybe read about that you tried and you're like, yeah, that just didn't really work, or that wasn't effective for me. That was maybe not the right advice for me.
Hold on. Don't listen to your friends, actually. That was probably the best, to be honest. Don't listen to your family or friends.
I'm going to put that in quotes.
As much as I love my friends who wanted to help me out and whatnot, a lot of the advice they gave was pretty bad, because sometimes they wanted to butt in and join, and it just put more strain. It took more strain than anything else. And That was also another boundary issue. I had to tell them, all right, this is really none of your business. Like, I'm like, I don't want to be like the one, you know, gossiping about. I'll just, if you ask how my relationship is now, I can tell them, hey, we're doing great. We're just having some issues, but I'm not going to tell you them. But we're working on it. And, but if family friends ever give you advice, I don't care if the family member's been married to their spouse for 60 or 80 years. Sometimes times change over times. When it might have worked with them many years ago, but it might not work with you because every situation's different.
Right. Exactly. Every situation is different. I love that you shared that. I want to put that in quotes. Like I said, like, don't listen to your friends or your family. I find that that's so true most of the time, especially if they don't have a relationship that you would want to have, or if just what they've gone through is just so different than what you're going through, then they just simply, you know, don't know. They don't have all the answers for us all the time. And sometimes that becomes even greater of a challenge. So I love that you had to put in some healthy boundaries there and say, hey, look, I'm doing this because I'm doing this. I mean, you've got some gumption, girl. Like, I love that. This is like, you're like the kind of clients we love to work with, because you're like, you know, if it works out with him, great. If not, he's the one missing out, you know, like, you've got that, like, it's okay. No matter what, you took the pressure off. You really looked at where you needed to grow yourself. You got the resources and support that you really needed for your mental, emotional health and the health of your daughter and your family. Right. Mm-hmm. You weren't afraid to put healthy boundaries there. And with your husband, as well as with your family. So that's powerful. If you don't feel like you're maybe as gumptious, I don't know if that's a word, as much gumption as Christina, then, you know, there are still solutions. But that's something I think that's in you that really served you through this process. So that's really awesome. I know for me as well, I had to put in healthy boundaries many times with friends and family about relationship with my husband, Ben, about going through cancer. It's kind of like, hey, I love you and I know you love me and I know you're trying to do the best thing that you can and you think that you're helping here, but I'm going down a path and if you don't support me, then I kind of need you to like give me some space, right? So yeah, awesome. Here's another question from a Thriving Marriage Facebook member from Lyle. He asks, after his affair, how long did it take to get the trust back? Or are you still working to get that reestablished? So we kind of did that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're starting to reestablish it. Like I said, trying to get everything back to normal is a marathon, not a race. It's just, you know, once you get more comfortable and you start slowly trusting them, it's also whatever you feel like, you know, is it up to you when you can start trusting them again? I mean, on your terms.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're still in the process of the forgiveness part? Do you feel like you've reached forgiveness or do you feel like that's still something that you guys are working towards?
At the beginning, when we're trying to get, you know, work things out, it was a process because the woman would still text him and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, but a lot of cell phone providers, you know, charge extra for like a program just to, you know, block a number. So he just kind of learned to like reprogram her name in the phone and put like ignore or something in it so that every time she tried to get a hold of him, he can just ignore it.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So like right there at the beginning, it's kind of hard to do the whole forgiveness part when there's still communication going on, you know, and like he still had to do some action there to show his dedication to you and to show that he was over this affair and that he wasn't going to break your trust again. I think that's really important. I was just working with a client earlier this week and she's like, I have a really hard time letting go of 8 years of pain and 8 years of, you know, in their case, alcoholism and, you know, all the struggles that they're going through. And she's like, I have a hard time letting it go. And one thing that we always look at is like, is there still active hurt? Like, is there still active unhealthy behavior? And so, and like you're talking about the beginning there, when she was still texting him, that's still like an active unhealthy behavior, right? And you can't heal a wound I like you're in healthcare, so this is something you might relate to, but like you can't heal a wound. Like if you've got the knife still in your arm, I know it's kind of gruesome, but it's Halloween, so I guess it works. You know, if the knife's still there, you can't heal it, you know? So if they're still actively doing something that's unhealthy or hurting or is triggering all of that to keep coming back up, you just can't heal. And it's not really the time for forgiveness. And so I think a lot of people feel a lot of pressure to have to let it go and forgive, but that isn't the actual time that is when it's going to occur. We got to get the knife out. We got to stop those unhealthy behaviors and reduce those painful triggers. So then healing can actually start to occur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know probably a lot of people out there are, you know, wondering how come I can't let this go? And you're like, well, he's still hurting you, or she's still like actively doing something really unhealthy here. And so we need to set those maybe more healthy boundaries in place so that those behaviors can end, and then we can move into actual healing. Yeah. So where would you say you are now, if you were to kind of put it in a nutshell and like describe your marriage now compared to where you were a year and a half ago?
It's like I said, it's a lot better than it was a year and a half ago. We're trying to do a lot of stuff more together. As of right now, when our daughter is gone for, you know, at grandparents' house over the weekend, we try to spend more time together. With COVID, we try not to go out as much, but we do like, you know, dinner and a movie at home in our bed, watching, you know, TV shows that, you know, we wanted to watch together and such. And so it's been really nice to do something like that all over again.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you guys are actually wanting to spend time together. Mm-hmm. Where were you with that before, like a year and a half ago? Were you wanting to spend time with him? Was he wanting to spend time with you?
Not really. He just wanted to be more like in the computer room doing his own thing. And I kind of wanted to do my own thing too. Mm-hmm. Only because I'm not going to let our daughter is kind of like, she's pretty needy and mm-hmm. wants my attention all the time. So dealing with her, and I'm trying to teach her that boundaries too with me, because sometimes mommy needs a break too, and she needs to learn how to do something else. But she's only 7, and it's kind of hard at that age.
Right. Yep, there's different challenges there, but it sounds like they're prioritizing and actually wanting to spend time together, whereas before you were just kind of roommate mode, right? That's how you described it, I think. Just kind of like, you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing, and we're not really that connected. Whereas now you actually enjoy spending time together, which is a beautiful thing. What else would you say you really appreciate about your relationship right now?
Another thing that I'm being appreciative is this, if I do get angry with him and I kind of act out irrationally, I finally figure out a way to know, just cool down, sit back, rethink what I did, and I've learned how to apologize, and he has learned how to do that too. It's like, hey, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking in the correct headspace. I was stressed, and it was I was just upset. But my behavior wasn't okay.
Yeah. Wow. What kind of a difference has that made for you guys?
It's a big difference. And it just kind of shows that, you know, it's worth trying to save.
Mm. Yeah. How do you think this will have a ripple effect for not only your guys' lives, but now your daughter's? You know, what kind of example do you feel like you're being now to her?
It's showing her that, you know, better men actually, you know, take care of their spouses, and everybody communicates, and, you know, to learn the difference between like an abusive relationship and a healthy relationship pretty much. I mean, she was pretty affected by this as much as I was, and she's a bit younger, and she's smart for her age, and so she's trying to heal herself as well, but on her own ways, and sometimes she lashes out, but it's a thing that she also has to learn. We all have to work together on it as a family to make sure that she knows that everything's now okay.
Right. Yeah. And what a beautiful thing to now come together as a family to do that. Ah, I got chills. That's awesome. So many things I heard you talk about, you know, now you're able to, you know, give feedback to each other instead of criticism. You're working on connecting. You're working on, you know, this deeper level of communication. I heard you say like, you're being more just really authentic with yourself. Like, hey, I reacted and I'm sorry, you know, and working as a team to solve those issues, working to restore the trust, working to set healthy boundaries when needed, and to really have a relationship that you both love and that you both want to spend time together. That's really powerful. So I guess my last question here, if anyone else in the Thriving Marriage has a final question that they can get in, then I'll see if we have a few minutes. So go ahead and comment that if you want to. But my last question here, Christina, is what advice would you give someone who is in like where you were a year and a half ago? You know, we've got a lot of people here that are going through a very similar thing as what you went through. So what advice would you give yourself if you could go back to, you know, a year and a half ago? What advice would you give yourself and to others that are going through that?
My biggest advice like I said earlier, get more mental help than just this program or the other program. Get more help for yourself. Because sometimes talking to somebody, it could be another life coach or a therapist, because they have really good input as well of how to take care of yourself, as you know, what you need, and for understanding and understanding your feelings, because they ask you the tough questions that you don't want to hear. And it's a good input. And that took me a little bit, but it made me feel a lot better about myself in a way too. And don't be ashamed about it, because mental health has always been on the back burner, and don't be ashamed about it. That's another thing I learned is don't be ashamed. You know, you're trying to improve yourself, and sometimes we just need that little extra help too. And focus on yourself. Make sure that your children's needs are met too, because we also forget our children, regardless of age, are affected by what's going on their surroundings as well, and it affects them. Some of them just hide it better than others. So, and I also suggest, depending on age, have them, you know, get them that get help as well, so that they can release the frustration that they have, because they also need a safe place to remove those negative emotions as well.
I love that. So really making sure that you get the support that you need and your children get the support that they need, because it is tough and we need to prioritize that and remove the shame or the guilt or the stigma, right, about needing help. I know for myself, I've worked really hard to try not to have that with my children, but they still pick up on it. They've got this like thing, it's just weird, that prevents them from feeling like it's okay to ask for help. Like my son has ADHD as well. And you know, he's now finally getting to the place of like, you know, I'm actually okay, even though I've got this thing. And, you know, so as parents, you know, just being really open with them, and it's okay. Like we all need help at different times, and that's all right. There's nothing broken or wrong with us for needing some help. It's actually a very powerful thing to do, to make those kind of choices and to make sure that you are getting to a good, healthy place. Mm-hmm. So one thing that you have to do is more of what's working, right? And less of what isn't. And more of what's working might be more support and more mental health care and things like that. What would you say to someone who's maybe losing hope? Maybe their spouse is having an affair as well, and they're wondering, is it even possible to turn this around? What would you say to them?
I would say to them, you know, just stop and think, you know, what maybe caused the affair, because that's what I learned through this program was is a deep thought. Like, write, it might be a lot, like, just write it down, like, you know, what has happened and what started the whole separation and him having an affair, like, even if it's just like just one word notes, like, you know, lack of intimacy, spending time with one another, etc. Because that's what mostly mine was. It was just all that. And he wasn't getting like the attention that he deserved. And that's what caused it, because men want affection as well. And if they don't get that, they'll more likely find it from somebody else, and vice versa too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really uncovering why they're doing what they're doing, mm-hmm. and kind of seeing what your part in it was. Not that you're to blame, you know, for all of it, but it is just taking accountability for, you know, what is my part in this, you know? That takes a lot of character. And it's a really beautiful thing to do, because then we can realize where we can change and where we can improve and grow, instead of feeling like just a victim and throwing our hands up in the air and being like, I had nothing to do with any of this. We tend to see that people that go that route are the ones that continue to have, you know, an affair in the future, in the next relationship. They continue to be cheated on because they're never really willing to look at what they may be also doing that's bringing about that pattern. And so that's really powerful to be able to take that accountability and just look at the whole thing from a higher level kind of perspective, right? Of asking yourself those deep questions about what is actually going on here, takes you out of the space of all of the intense emotions about it and makes you be a little bit more logical or analytical, so you can actually look at what it is. So how did you find that, like, looking at what it was actually gave you some hope there?
How it gave me hope was, well, I decided, you know, it's the accountability issue. Like you said, I finally took accountability for my actions and figured out how I can fix this for myself, whether it saves the marriage or not, and make sure I don't make those same mistakes in the future.
Yeah. That is an empowered place to be. I bet you could feel that, huh? You could feel the difference of that in your life and in yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Christina. Everyone, give her so much love and so much gratitude for being willing to share with you her experience of going through years of struggle there, years of disconnection, all the way leading up to an affair during COVID, to now the place where her husband's left the other woman and is working on things with her. They're opening up communication, they're opening up trust, they're restoring, they're healing, they're working together as a team, they're working together as a team with their daughter, and they're moving forward. So thank you so much, Christina. We deeply, deeply appreciate you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And next week, we will be jumping back in with another episode. It'll probably be me without Marco again. So again, please send him your prayers and your healing. And we will see you guys next week for another episode. All right. Thank you, Christina. And you guys all take care.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.